Daniel Huntington Show. Comes your way every Sunday, and we're pleased to have the Bucco GM with us here this afternoon. And I know you were pleased, as was everybody, to watch Chris Archer pitch like you know he can, although I don't know that anybody expected a potential no-hitter, and he was no-hitting the Braves through five innings. And as he said, Neil, after the game, he felt a lot better about everything. Obviously, it was a team loss, but for him personally, it was a big step.
No, and that's much closer to the Chris Archer that that pitched so well for so many years in Tampa, that has pitched at times for them this year, and certainly the guy that we traded for, and that guy that can shut down a good team. Atlanta's a legitimate playoff caliber team with a ton of good young talent, and Chris Archer went out there, pitched his game, was very effective, moved the fastball around, had the terrific slider that he always does. Used his other pitches effectively and kept them off balance. Some hard contact, but overall a really good outing from Chris. And I'm sure in his mind he would very much prefer the win to a good outing for him. But that's a positive sign for us as we look to finish this year strong and build and anchor a rotation around a Chris Archer as we move forward in the coming years.
Neil, he said he simplified things. He went just from pitch one to just the stretch, which he said he hadn't done since he was 10 years old. He said he trusted Francisco Cervelli. And Pedro Martinez, we were talking about this on the telecast last night, mentioned something, the Hall of Fame pitcher, in a tweet a few days ago, that he knows Archer is an outstanding pitcher, but talked about deception and that his body was maybe getting a bit out of whack and his arms were extended to it. I'm paraphrasing. But he did simplify things, and you wonder, does that come into play last night with the better command?
And that was the idea behind going to the stretch only. And it's the first major league game that I can remember ever watching two opposing starting pitchers work stretch only. Carlos Carrasco did it in Cleveland a handful of years ago and has had a ton of success with it. Gausman went to the stretch only, and Chris went to it last night. It looked bizarre from first pitch with two starters. But it is a way to simplify. It is a way to minimize body movements. It's a way to get in one position and maximize what you get out of that spot. The old theory is that you have less velocity and it's more work to generate when you go from stretch only. But in this day and age, man, these guys have become so efficient, and the big old windups of old times are going further and further away. Pitchers are doing more to almost mimic the stretch, to have it be one delivery, to have it be one set of movements, to try to get as close to repeating as possible.
Is this something where you would almost preach it throughout the system for starters?
You go back if you look at where the delivery is evolving to from where it was in the 50s and the 70s and the 90s even, it is becoming about less pre-pitch movement, less early delivery movement, the hand pump, the large rocker steps. Nolan Ryan used to step way off the mound and then he would regather, and we've become more simplified in our movements. We're trying to shorten our movements. You see so many of the pitchers now that are almost starting side saddle, almost like the stretch, versus starting with both feet perpendicular to home plate. They're now starting with both feet parallel to home plate. They're taking the little baby step and lifting and going, and the evolution of the delivery is to more simple, to more refined. Now, it also takes away some deception, but the mechanics are tough enough to repeat, let alone when your rocker step takes you off balance immediately. It's one of the first teaching tools. You look at a high school pitcher, if they're having a hard time keeping the ball in the zone, if they're missing to their arm side all the way, they're probably getting themselves off balance in their rocker step, and then they fight themselves for the rest of their delivery to get back on balance versus just being compact, easy, and ready to go.
So you think you might?
Well, I don't know that we'll emphasize it throughout the system, but each individual pitcher's athleticism, his body, his limb length, his balance, his core strength, that's what dictates what he can do outside of a compact, simple delivery. So it is individualized, but the further you get from the norm, the better athlete, the better body control you need to have.
Neil, today Nick Kingham goes almost an emergency start. Ivan Nova attending to some personal business. Was he the obvious choice to start today for you?
He was, and again, recognizing Nick's last start here was not terrific. He had some really good starts for us, in our minds was the easy choice to plug in here today. He has major league weapons. Again, prior to his last start, he had pitched as an effective major league starter, and we felt that Nick had earned this opportunity again to get back out there as a starter for us today.
Do we know when Ivan Nova might be back and make his next start yet?
We do not. his start was today. I would anticipate us wanting to get him off a mound again before we drop him right back into the rotation. So I don't know that our rotation will change for this upcoming series, but you know, he may get aside and drop into the next series when we come back home.
By the way, the Pirates return tomorrow afternoon, Labor Day. 1:35 start against the Reds, Trevor Williams against Matt Harvey, then Joe Musgrove scheduled for Tuesday night, Jameson Taillon against Homer Bailey Wednesday night, day off Thursday before the Marlins come in on Friday. The rotation, we were discussing this on or off the air the other day, Neil, wondering that now conceding that you're looking ahead toward 2019, the way the pitching staff has gone now the last couple months with the outstanding starts you're getting, the really great bullpen, knock on wood, you want to keep these guys completely healthy. Are you making plans to really be kind of extra careful this year, maybe go 6-7 men down the stretch, maybe pull a guy and kind of be done for the rest of the season?
Well, again, as we just got to talking with the deliveries, the workload, what they've had, what they can sustain, what we're building them toward as we look forward, those are all completely individualized. Innings does not tell the complete story. It tells a part of the story. And really even pitches thrown doesn't tell the complete story. So we're looking at all the variables. We're looking at where they are and how they're recovering and how they are competing right now. We do have an off day every Thursday, the first 3 weeks of September. So if we were to just stay right on turn, Chris Archer and Ivan Nova would be the only starters in September until we get to that final week. That would have to pitch on their fifth day, so each of the starters will get an extra day naturally. Pitchers really don't like to go on their seventh and eighth day. Will we look to maybe get a starter out earlier here or there versus letting them get into the eighth inning or maybe even the seventh inning? Or if somebody is scuffling, do we look to get them out a little bit earlier? The extra pitching in September does help. The challenge is we don't want to leave pitches in the bank and then come next October, we're worried because we didn't push a little bit forward. We didn't nudge a little bit forward. So had we made October, we might have had to push some guys a little bit further than we wanted to. So how do we build them appropriately without stressing them? And that's the delicate balance we're working right now. So, again, it goes well beyond just an innings count. It goes well beyond just a pitch count. There is some science to it, but there's a lot more art than science to figuring out how to push these guys. But we will. We'll monitor these guys. And if we need to at the end or if we need to short start somebody or if we need to split a game with someone, Ray and Yuki and Justin Message and Clint have a great feel for all that as well as our medical staff.
Same philosophy, would you say, for the bullpen, or is that a different animal with relievers? And wondering, too, about Edgar Santana's condition because he did not pitch last night in the close game.
Yeah, we'll monitor, again, each one of those guys and where they are in their workload, both pitches and innings and stress, where they've been, where they're trying to go, and we'll give some guys some breathers here or there. It's a nice part about having a large number, I guess you could say five guys that we feel completely comfortable pitching late in the ball game with a win. So we'll look to give each one of those guys a little bit of a breather here, maybe not push them quite as aggressively as we did as we were fighting for our playoff lives. At the same time, man, these guys are competitors. They want to be out there. They're going to tell us they feel good. They're going to tell us they want to continue to pitch, and so we're going to have to irritate them a little bit to maybe protect them from themselves a little bit.
Santana's that way then. He wants to pitch,
he
but
wants
you got to be
ball.
Careful with
yeah,
him.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He wants the ball. Kelo wants the ball every single day. Vasquez wants the ball every single day. Kyle Crick would take it every day. Rodriguez would take it every day. They want the ball, and especially in winning situations. These guys are still driven to compete. They're still driven to win, and they know that a strong September, we build some momentum going into next year, is a good thing and important to us.
All right, we'll continue with the Pirates general manager coming away from SunTrust Park in Atlanta, Georgia. Pirates Braves here on the Pirates Baseball Network. We are back in Atlanta with Pirates general manager Neil Huntington. The Buccos and the Braves here this afternoon wrap up their long road trip before heading home. Labor Day game tomorrow afternoon, 1:35 at PNC Park against the Reds. Well, Neil, the Pirates, you trade David Freese a couple days ago and Adani Echevarria. Echevarria came to the Pirates in the first week of August. Of course, Freese almost 3 years here. You said that you made the difficult decision to trade Freese, give him a chance to pursue a World Series this season, appreciating all that he contributed. And this frees up valuable playing time for some of the younger players and clearing up salary. And you also add an interesting guy who has some power, athleticism, and defensive versatility in Jesus Manuel Valdez from the Los Angeles Dodgers. So it became apparent, I guess, when the Pirates were out of the race that you wanted, twofold. You give Freeze the chance, at Chavarria as well, but you also do free up salary and you want these younger guys to play.
Yeah, it's really a scenario where there were multiple factors involved in it. We did save a little bit of money. We did get a player that we like that's an interesting player that shows athleticism, impact, and some defensive versatility that's intriguing to us. A little bit of an older player in the Dominican Summer League, a later sign, but we're seeing more and more of those guys, type of guys having success, and he has traits. He has traits that we like. It also clears up time, whether it's for Jose Osuna. The Echeverria trade was more just trying to place two veteran guys who were on their way to free agency, and rather than not play them as they're on their way to free agency, we had a chance to place them. We had a chance to create some playing time. Again, whether it's for Osuna, Kevin Newman's going to get a large chunk of the time at shortstop. Jordy Mercer and Echeverria, it becomes more difficult to place them in a game here and there. Frazier is going to get quite a bit of playing time at second. Moran is going to continue to play third, but Osuna is going to get some time, almost in that Freeze-type role at first, third, maybe even a little bit in the outfield, but certainly some bat opportunities off the bench and a chance to let those guys go compete for a ring, which is what they love to do. And, David was a big help for us, and David helped some of our players mature on and off the field. David was a very good player while he was here. We just didn't see a fit as we looked at next year from all parameters that we consider and wanted to give him an opportunity to chase a ring while clearing up some time.
Neil, it always seems like you'd like to have someone like a Freeze on your teams, and now he's gone, and you don't have anybody like that. So in 2019, who would fill that kind of veteran leadership type role?
Well, we are a relatively inexperienced team, but we'll have a lot of guys in their second, third, and fourth years in the big leagues. And Cervelli will continue to be that veteran presence. Dickerson is a veteran presence. Nova on that rotation can be a veteran presence. That bullpen is just very young but very talented, and they seem to do a nice job out there. Kella has the most experience and brings a ton of presence. But you're right, between Sean Rodriguez and David Freeze, we had some role players that brought a ton of experience and a ton of know-how to the game, but their influence will continue. And we've got Cervelli and Dickerson and some other guys that are some veteran presence. Josh Bell will be in his third full season next year, and Polanco and Marte are not young players anymore. They're becoming young veteran players. So we'll have some Adam Frazier really isn't a young – he's a young veteran player now. So we have more young veteran players than we do just pure young guys. And while we'll look to see if there's something out there that makes sense in the offseason to add some veteran presence, we feel less inclined and less like we need that, especially with this group. I mean, Jameson Taillon's a special young man, and Chris Archer's a special young man. And we've got some guys that have leadership ability and some presence. And this may actually free them up a little bit to transition this to become their club.
You mentioned Corey Dickerson. What do you think of his season? He doesn't seem to be the same guy since coming off the disabled list.
Yeah, injuries are tough for guys to come back from at times, especially with as well as he was playing. We've talked about it a lot on the show, Brownie. When guys go out with an injury, the expectations are going to come back from the injury and be at the exact same stage. Well, they're not. They're down 10 games or they're down 15 games. And the rest of the league has continued to compete, and they're continuing to stay sharp. And that's why we fight like heck to get these guys to go out on a rehab, to see live pitching, to see game speed, to see live hitters if they're a pitcher. And unfortunately, a lot of these guys, and I'm not throwing Corey under the bus here because we didn't even talk about it with him. We were the ones that brought Corey back in, and so this is on us as much as anything else. But the game continues to get better when these guys are on the sidelines or they stay at their highest level when these guys are on the sidelines. And Corey has had a streaky season. He's been as good as anybody for periods of time, and he's had some struggles. And he's an aggressive hitter. Aggressive hitters tend to be streakier because when everything's going well, then they can barrel just about anything. And when things aren't going well, they tend to expand the zone, and pitchers tend to exploit their aggressiveness. And Corey's battling a little bit of that right now.
You like him out in left field, don't you?
We do. I mean, again, we talked when we acquired him that he was a better defensive outfielder than people were giving him credit for. He'd work to lean up. He'd work to become more athletic. And he's done a nice job for us in left field. He's a threat in the batter's box. It shows up to beat the opponent's backside every single day. Shows up, to win ball games. Shows up to help his teammates win ball games. And just as a baseball player.
You think he likes it in Pittsburgh?
We think so. I'm sure he likes it better when he's doing well. But no, we like having Corey here, and he's a good fit.
Would you foresee him beyond next year?
We always want to explore those opportunities if they make sense for both sides. At the same time, history tells us that extensions for players in their 30s more often than not don't work out for the clubs very well. And so we need to be absolutely cognizant of that. In my time here, we've had some extensions that have gone really well. We've had some extensions that haven't gone really well. And as you're talking about percentages of payroll, we're starting to get into some dollars where it's a fairly substantial percentage of payroll. And how do we feel the production is going to be going forward? We love the man, and that's an easy one. But how do we project the production going forward and how many years and how many dollars and what do we have for options coming behind or how else can we allocate those dollars? It's not as simple as player A or player B. It's player A and his cost and player B and his cost. And then what else can you do if player B costs less? What else can you do with that money to build a stronger team? And that's the challenge of small markets.
What options do you have, Neil Bion? Because I know you're not looking just 2019. You're looking at depth. Who do you foresee beyond Dickerson in left field?
Well, Jason Martin had a terrific Double A season, went to Triple A, got off to a great start, and is scuffled here this last month. Brian Reynolds has continued to show, we hope, why we were excited about the acquisition of this young man. Broke his hamate early in the season, and typically when you come back from hamate surgery, your power gets depleted. It may take up to a year to get that power back. He's up around 300. He's up around 800 OPS. He's one of the more productive offensive players in the Eastern League, which is a very pitcher-friendly league, and has done a nice job defensively. As we look at other places, we've got some other guys coming behind the system, but those are probably the two most prominent names. Jordan Luplo, who, again, was one of the top 5 to 10 offensive players in AAA. Jordan's more on the immediate horizon. As we talked coming into this year, had we not acquired Corey Dickerson, our left field was going to be some combination of Adam Frazier and Jordan Luplo. So between Luplo, Martin, and Reynolds, we feel like we've got the short term covered and are optimistic about the longer term.
We will continue with Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington from Atlanta. The Neil Huntington Show continues on the Pirates Baseball Network. We're back in Atlanta. The Neil Huntington Show from SunTrust Park. Pirates Braves here today. Again, the Pirates and Reds tomorrow at PNC Park for the Labor Day special 1:35 matinee game. Continue to talk about the Pirates this year and, of course, looking ahead to 2019. Neil, David Freese, I think, had an option of some sort for next year. Does his departure make it more likely that a guy like Jung Ho Gung could return to the Pirates next year?
That's a great question, and one that we're working through right now. Obviously, an up and down year for Gung in terms of getting into the country, in terms of getting back out playing very well for a short period of time in Bradenton, scuffling in Indianapolis, and then having the wrist flare up on him. He had surgery. We're in the recovery period, the rehabilitation period from that surgery. So we'll take a look at where he is health-wise as we get through the end of the season. There is still a chance he could play in some games here toward the end of the season. It may be more likely a challenge for him to get to that point in time, but we'll see how his wrist recovers and grip strength and everything in the next week or so as we start to look forward. Again, on September 2nd, where we're going to be on September 21st, we're still unknown at this point in time. We do like the player. We do like that he's worked hard to get back to this point in time. We are disappointed for him that the wrist needed surgery because that's obviously slowed the process down. Could he fit? That's a to be determined. But on one hand, he could absolutely fit. But on the other hand, we have to figure out exactly how and how much and all of that in the process.
Would there be any downside at all that if he's healthy enough to get a few big league at-bats this September?
No downside other than he may just not have the foundation to be able to effectively compete up here. The hope was that he would get some time with Indianapolis if everything went perfectly. The hope was he'd get some time with Indianapolis, get a few at-bats. Ideally, their season will extend, and they're fighting for their playoff lives right now. Their season would extend, and he'd be able to get some at-bats and transition right into the last 2 weeks up here. The wrist surgery has taken the time that, unfortunately, we anticipated it would. We were hoping for maybe for a little bit shorter time. So that may not align to go face some kids in instructional league and then try to step into a major league role at the end of the season. We'll have to see how that all plays out.
We're talking with Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington on his weekly radio show as the Pirates and the Atlanta Braves meet here today. It's Nick Kingham on the mound against Julio Teheran as the Pirates close out this, again, this very long road trip. And we mentioned tomorrow's Labor Day special. There's a game ticket and $10 in loaded value, good for concessions and merchandise, for just $19 available for any game of the Red Series starting tomorrow. So make sure you check it out, pirates.com/Labor Day. Neil, Will Craig drove in his 100th run of the year last night for Double A Altoona, the college player you drafted a couple years ago out of Wake Forest. And he becomes the first Pirates minor leaguer with 100 RBIs in 8 years. Quincy Lattimore the last to do it. Is it a possibility that Will Craig, if again, talking about fast track, but if you're looking for a guy to drive in runs, that maybe a little bit of time at AAA next year, he could wind up seeing some big league time next year?
You know what, Will's worked hard. He's had a nice season there. He's been aggressive in trying to drive the ball. He's a different type of hitter than he was coming out of college. In college, it was a patient, mature approach, a run driver in, he's gone to more, I'm going to explode on a ball and I'm going to drive balls deep, and yet he also has that knack to get that RBI single with two outs, to drive a ball to the wall, to hit some balls into the seats, and he's had a nice offensive season. He's also continued to work hard defensively at first base. We drafted him in the first round because we love the bat. We thought if he wasn't able to stay at third, he'd be able to go to first and the hands would work and the defense would work there, but we liked the bat, and he had a nice step forward offensively this year.
How's he doing defensively?
I believe I saw that he was named the defensive first baseman of the year in the Eastern League. Our reports are that he's continued to work hard, continued to get better at the position.
And because he – do you like this new – you said he used to be a patient, mature guy. Do you like this new approach?
You know, it sounds an awful lot like the conversations we had on Josh Bell. Josh Bell is a really good hitter that last year sold out to power. This year has been kind of caught in between a bunch, and we're working with these guys to understand you can be both. You can be a good hitter that hits home runs versus a hitter that strikes out too much and doesn't hit for average but hits five more home runs. You can be both, and it's just a matter of maturity and growing into when to hit and counts and when to look to do certain things. Christian Yelich is a great example in Miami. He's figured out how to do some damage early in the count. Now it's up to the league to punch back and to figure out how to get him out early in the count. But he was a guy that hit too many ground balls. He was a guy that was a little bit too passive, and he's learned how to do damage early in counts or to do damage in fastball counts. And Josh and Will and other hitters will continue to grow and develop that, our belief.
Neil, are you still a believer that regardless of whether you're a college player like Craig or a high school guy like Josh Bell, that you still need a certain amount of at-bats at every level, including AAA, going back to the question about chances of a big league opportunity next year for Craig?
Well, and again, I think our big point is why we hope that that's not going to be a factor is we'll get Josh Bell right, and we'll get him back to the guy that hit almost 30 home runs last year that's capable of being a really good major league hitter, a run producer. But we do believe that there is an element of maturity, lessons to be learned at each level, and the different pitchers. Double A is about stuff and refining stuff for pitchers. Triple A is about the Mitch Kellers of the world that are trying to figure out how to take that next step. And then you also have that 4A guy that may have got an up-down cup of coffee but can really pitch but just lacks enough velocity or lacks enough sharpness to the breaking ball. So he's crafty and he's a veteran and he's experienced, and he's going to go exploit that young aggressive hitter. He's going to go find that hitter's hole and exploit it. And so there is value to gaining those at-bats at AAA because it is a very different type of pitching. There are still prospects, but there's many more of the crafty guys that can figure out how to get holes and how to get let hitters get themselves out. And at the major league level, you have guys who are able to do both. They have stuff and they can pitch, and that's why it's so hard to hit at the major league level.
Now we'll finish things up with Pirates general manager Neil Huntington, Buccos Braves from Atlanta on the Pirates Baseball Network. We're back here, the Neil Huntington Show, and wrapping things up on this edition. We'll be back, of course, next Sunday as the Pirates host the Marlins at PNC Park. Neil, you've called up a handful of players. Do you anticipate once the AAA season is over, you might add one or two more? And is Kevin Kramer a possibility?
I do anticipate that we'll add a few more guys. So we're at 28 right now. I would anticipate we'll get into the low 30s. We may add another couple of arms or three arms. With Diaz being down right now, it kind of takes away the third catcher buffer that managers like to have, that general managers like to have for their managers in September. So we'll have to take a look at that. Jordan Luplow certainly deserves an opportunity to come back up again. And yes, Kevin Kramer is a candidate. Kevin's had a terrific season, a really strong second half. He can swing the bat. He's bounced between second and third primarily here in the second half of the season down there. The challenge becomes Adam Frazier has earned significant playing time at second base, and we want to see where Adam Frazier can take this and what he can do. You and I have talked on the show before. You've asked a couple of times, does he seem to get better the more he plays defensively? And the answer to that is yes. So how do we give him a good stretch at bats here? We still believe Colin Moran is going to be a good major league player. Started out strong, hasn't been the offensive player that we anticipated so far here the last couple of months, in particular last month or so. So those two guys need to continue to get at bats. We still do have Josh Harrison and Jordy Mercer that we want to be respectful as they head into free agency if that's where they end up going. So the opportunity to have Kevin Kramer come up and play is important to us, and we're walking that balance. It doesn't make a ton of sense to bring a young player up and have him play twice over the last 15, 20 games. You know, there's one thing to gain experience and to see the game speed. It's another thing to just come up and then play on your 10th day. That's not a fair ask. So we're working through that. Kevin's has done everything he can do to earn an opportunity. It's just a matter of do we have the playing time for him, given the other factors beyond his control.
We have a minute left. Are you concerned that if Leos Diaz, if he goes beyond just a couple days, you may need to bring up a guy? And Ryan LaVarnway, is he a possibility?
We're talking about it, and Ryan, also another guy that's had a terrific season for Indianapolis offensively and is a strong veteran presence and a good man. And yes, Ryan is in that conversation. Now, we've got to figure out some roster spots and how do we make all of this work. LaVarnway's off the roster. Kramer's off the roster. We're at 39, but we do have Gong, who we're unsure of. Chad Kuhl is a potential option to come back here late in the month if everything goes well. So there's a lot of variables to put into play here. And again, ultimately, is how do we put this team in a position to finish strong? How do we put this team in a position to go into the offseason feeling good, to have a good spring training, to compete for a championship next year?
Lots going on, Neil. We'll talk to you again next Sunday. Thanks so much. Great to have you here in Atlanta.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Brownie.